Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bill Lazor said this morning that you guys were aware that the teams that improved as the year went on would have a chance to really rise at the end. I'm curious from the head coach's seat, your thoughts on that in this very unique year and what you think this late surge gives you in terms of potential going forward.
The big picture for us is you love to be able to have a perfect season where everything clicks at all times in all phases. And that's just probably not normal. And then you go through a stretch that we went through as a team, and we just weren't playing complementary football in those three phases. And it was, we were struggling to score points, and for different reasons. Now we get to this point where we are now scoring points and take the defense out of it, regardless of how the defense is playing. When you score points, really in any sporting event, you're going to have a great chance to win. And so we are now doing that the last several games. I think the defense right now, again, with how they played this past weekend, with being able to make crucial stops, and there's good competition in practice as well. Today was a really fast practice for us. And so getting back to what you said is, we want to be able to be clicking towards the end of the season, and in a perfect world where you have a great shot or you're already in the playoffs. Now, that's not the case with us. So whatever we can do is let's just keep clicking and then see what happens. So that's kind of probably what he meant.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about where his ball club is at with two games to play in the 2020 NFL season. You've got the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com right here at 670 The Score. And don't forget, as soon as you hear the final gun on today's Bears-Jaguars game, get right back here to 670 on your radio dial or at 670thescore.com. for the Prop Swap post-game show presented by PNC Bank. Pat Manley and I will take your phone calls for a couple hours before we hand it off to Big Ant, Anthony Heron, and Olin Krutz on the post-game show right here at 670 The Score. So this is the only place you want to be all day long for Bears talk, for Bears Jaguars. And guys, Pat, I don't want to read too much into it or change the intention of what Matt Nagy was just trying to say. But in the middle there, he said something that I found really interesting when he said, take the defense out of it. In any sporting event, when you score a lot of points, you've got a good chance to win. That is clearly Matt Nagy's, vision of football and sports in general. And I'm not saying he's ignoring the defense. He came back and talked about it. But it feels like that's almost kind of how he got himself in trouble in the first place, just focused on the way to score the biggest number of points the most quickly. And it took him the better part of the season to sort that out and get back to something that was going to work for him with the personnel that he has.
Yeah, that's just who he is. If he was a basketball coach in the NBA, he'd be the one just trying to run up the score and not really worry about defense and just win by scoring the most points. And obviously how you win by scoring the most points, but trying to run him out of the gym. And that's just who he is. So sometimes he can't help himself. And Olin, you brought it up that you just hope they don't get in their way by trying to overcomplicate this game plan against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And because that's who he is, that's who what he wants to do is run his style of offense when he had a chance to do it before he kind of changed over to now. I just hope they don't get bored with it. I hope they just, the game plan for this game is pretty simple. Keep giving it to David David Montgomery, and then use Mitch out of the pocket, give him easy reads, and you just hope that's the way he feels that he can get to those points and can continue doing that and just walk away with an easy win today.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're watching for today, Pat, right? Because the only way you imagine when you look at this game, they can get themselves in trouble after they scored the last three games, 33 points a game. We would have never thought we would have said that watching this Bears offense before the bye, going to the bye after that Minnesota game where they got handled. And I think they only scored 13 points, and seven of those was from Cordarrelle Patterson's kickoff return for a touchdown. So they got to keep running this outside zone, keep moving the pocket, and you're worried, like you just said, Pat, about Coach Nagy starting to think, I'm going to go back a little bit to our old offense and try to put up really big numbers against, you know, the 32nd ranked defense in the league, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So stick with it. Stick with what got you here. But in the back of our minds, watching this Chicago Bears team, that's what you're always worried about. The only chance you can give a team like the Jaguars, like we talked about earlier, is start to give them takeaways, start to give them a little momentum, and then all of a sudden you're in a game and you're in a dogfight against a team that you should have beat pretty handily.
Well, let me ask you this. So when we were in games in the offense, you know, in games like this, when you should win the game, and were most offensive coaches or coordinators, they just said, all right, we're going to run what we run well, walk out of here with a win, and get ready for the you know, another difficult opponent?
Yeah, we talked about last week going into the third quarter, and the Bears looked really good in the third quarter last week, scoring that drive right after the Vikings took it down the field, and you're thinking, oh boy, here we go again, right? This third quarter that the Bears just can't seem to score points or play good football, and yet they did. And look, it to me, Pat and Hub, it's players, right? What do my players do well? And ever since they went to this new offensive line of Mustafa at center, Alex Bars, Cody Whitehair, Afedi, and Leno, and then Cole Kmet getting a lot more playing time. I think he plays 80 or 90% of the snaps now, and he blocks a lot when you watch the film. He's a really good blocking tight end. So what do they do well? What does Mitch Trubisky do well? What does David Montgomery do well? And if you ask yourself all those questions, you come to the answer of run the ball, get Mitch out of pocket, get the ball to Mooney in space. I mean, last week he made that guy miss in like 6 inches. He had like 6 inches to make that guy miss by the sideline. That was an unbelievable move. Another kid playing really, really good football right now. And like, you know, the guy from the Jaguars just said, get the ball to Allen Robinson. They don't have anybody who can cover him. Get him the ball in space and let him make plays.
You know, guys, another little ancillary benefit from the changes that have been made in the last few weeks that I don't think anybody's really talked about, I don't think we've talked about it, since Matt Nagy handed off play calling duties to Bill Lazor, I don't even know that it's the play calling that is as different as it is the scheme. They've obviously changed their focus of what they're trying to do, and Lazor is calling the plays off of that game plan and that playlist and that ready sheet. But we're not seeing the clock management issues. We're not seeing the bad game decisions. I mean, it feels like since Matt Nagy has freed himself up to be the head coach and not the offensive coordinator, he's been a better head coach, and these games have been coached better. Pat, is it my imagination, or is it just seem like that's come together as well these last few games? Not as much complaining about, I can't believe he did this, or I can't believe he did that.
I think the biggest thing that I have not been doing is scratching my head on about play calls. I think, you know, Bill Lazor not having to be what Matt Nagy was of trying to manage a game and call plays. The scheme obviously looks different, but I feel just the flow of the game is better. The runs are called at better times. They might run them the same play over and over. I that's what I see. And I think that speaks a lot to Matt Nagy of handing over his play calling duties in the middle of the season. It'll be interesting to see what the McCaskies feel about that. You know, as we had them all fired a couple weeks ago, where does that stand with them? How does he have a discussion with them about what he wants to do going forward? Does he want to have it back? But I just feel a lot more comfortable, enjoy watching the offensive game called, not just the scheme as well, but called with the way Bill Lazor's doing it, just because I think that's all that he's focused on. And Matt Nagy's doing a nice job of being a head coach.
Yeah, there's obviously the Lions game that you worried about, right, where they called those passes there when you thought they should have been running the ball to put that game out of reach, and then they get a sack fumble there and lose that game. So, you know, that was only 2 weeks ago, and that's why when you go into this game, you still feel a little bit worried, right? You don't think that they should have called that pass down there against the Vikings, you know, maybe just run the ball there, kick the field goal, and end up with an interception. But as far as clock management that Hub is talking about, it's been better. And just like we talked about with these Bears all year, when they're 5-1, you just keep hoping that they just keep improving, because pretty quickly here, if they get to where they want to go, this competition is going to kick up really fast.
Guys, what needs to continue to get better? I mean, we know the offense has to continue to score points. We know the defense has got to get more pass rush. But, Pat, are there any players in particular you're looking more from? I know, you know, a lot of fans keep going back to Anthony Miller, and I don't know if Anthony Miller gets as many targets as he should or needs to be more productive. You know, the tight ends, it really intrigues me. I wrote a piece the other day, actually, it's at ShawLocal.com or NorthwestHerald.com, about the tight ends, particularly Jimmy Graham, who I think is an interesting character because he came here with a reputation for having some rough edges. He came here in the belief that maybe his best years were behind him, but he has been everything they hoped for in the red zone. He has started to be more productive between the 20s, and I got to tell you, he's never going to be known as a blocker, but in addition to Cole Kmet's blocking, you watch the tape the last couple weeks, he's had a few key blocks as well, and that's something I never expected to see from Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I think they're set at the tight end position now that Cole Kmet has taken over the snap counts. And the other thing, too, is as far as players, what's impressed me is Cole Kmet and Mooney being rookies at this time of year. Olin, we saw it many a times where rookies would start falling off. You know, this is beyond what they've played in college. You know, it's a little bit longer season. They get a little, I don't know what you call it, tired, but just fatigued. It's a little different. You got to learn how to deal with your body for this long in the season. And for those two guys to continue playing as well as they have been and continue to improve says a lot for them, for their future, and also for the future for the Bears offense this year. But to flip over to the other side of the ball, the player that I want to see more out of, obviously, is Eddie Jackson. You need to see the turnovers. The defense needs to get takeaways. That's the biggest issue right now with this. Well, there's other issues with this defense, but to me, it's the takeaways. We saw what they did in 2018 and how good that defense was with that. But to me, that's the player. If you want to pick out one player that could really elevate this team, it would be Eddie Jackson to help that defense.
Yeah, and you're right, Hub. When you watch that film, Jimmy Graham, you know, it has been impressive. I don't want to say he's been a great blocker, but for him, he's been getting after it. He's taking his blocking, you know, it's personal to him. And he's been, you know, you can tell he's a good leader in that tight end room, and he's playing with a lot of energy. Not something you haven't seen when he was with Green Bay or Seattle, when the run blocking, you see him kind of taking a play off. But the guy I want to see keep improving is Montgomery. I want to see him keep playing hard. You know, last week I thought late in the game, I thought he looked a little tired when he was getting up there in 28, 29, 30 carries. And look, that's going to happen. After 30 carries and as much running he's been doing the last 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to get tired. But, you know, as we used to know, Pat, late in the game, you don't want to look tired. You want to look like you're gaining energy. You want to keep punching these guys in the body, which is the run game. Keep coming downhill and look like you're actually gaining energy late in the game. So want to see him after, you know, getting those 30 carries. Interested today to see the way he responds to getting the ball fed to him again and see how much energy he has, because he's going to be really important as the Bears go on here.
Guys, we're going to take a very quick break here. Next up is one of our favorite segments every week. It is Where Are They Now time. And we have a veteran NFL coach joining us. Mike Tice was the Chicago Bears offensive line coach in 2010, 2011. Took over as offensive coordinator in 2012. He came to the Bears from Jacksonville, where he spent the better part of 5 years as the assistant head coach and tight end coach. We're going to visit with Mike in just a moment after this very quick break right here on The Score.
Where are they now? Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz.
All right, I think we got Thomas Jones joining us now. Thomas, your ears better be burning because we were talking all good things about you.
Catching up with former Bears players and staff each week to see...
Where are they now? Kyle Orton is right here.
Where are they now?
The general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard, now an NFL Executive of the Year, also a longtime Chicago Bears scout and member of the Bears front office.
Where are they now?
So is Roberto Garza the first base coach or the third base coach?
Bro, I'm the dugout coach. I'm not getting put in the field.
That is Charles Peanut Tillman, one of the all-time great Chicago Bears, one of the all-time great Chicago people.
Where are they now? On the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Well, welcome back to the program, everybody. Hub Arkish here, along with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. This is the most fun we have every Sunday when we get to visit with former Chicago Bears players and coaches. And it is now my pleasure to welcome in Mike Tice. Mike, of course, a long NFL career as a tight end. Played, I believe, over 14 years in the league before becoming a coach, NFL assistant coach, and head coach. Spent 4 years as the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. But in particular, a couple years as offensive line coach here in Chicago and then offensive coordinator in 2012. Mike, thank you so much for taking time out for us this morning. And most importantly, hope everybody is healthy and safe out there and that you guys are enjoying a good holiday season so far.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. Nice talking to you. What's up, Patrick?
It's good to talk to you, Coach. How you been?
Yeah, I've been wonderful. How about it? How you guys doing?
Can't complain. Just doing a little radio here with Olin from pregame and postgame and enjoying retired life. It sounds like that's kind of what you're doing now.
I am. I'm here in Seattle with my wife, Diane. Was fortunate to have my daughter come in from St. Louis with her husband. And watched a lot of football yesterday and getting ready to watch some more football today.
Hey, Coach, Olin here. Just tell us a little bit what you got going on now. I see you got a YouTube show going over some odds and ends in the NFL and just kind of what you see in the NFL right now.
Hey, Olin, what's up, man? We go way back, huh?
Yep, we do.
A lot of people don't know the first time Olin Krutz and I met was at a workout at the University of Washington when he was a Husky. And I fell in love with him as a player and followed his career and then was blessed to coach him at the tail end of his career. Unfortunately, I got you at the tail end of your career. Well, I'm doing a little YouTube fun show here for my friends around the country, people I've come across. I know everybody likes to put a little wager on the game, so I have a little five-pick segment each week, you know, 8 to 10 minutes, 8 to 11 minutes, where I pick five games, talk about the league, and have a little bit of fun. And I see that's what you guys got a little wagering going on. That's pretty cool.
We should get you into our little pool here. It started out, I kept broadcasting, this is strictly for fun, don't bet your hard-earned money on it. And then I realized I was competing with Krutz and Manley, and now we're at each other's throats. We're like a game apart after 16 weeks, so we're
going to
see what happens.
Yeah, I don't compete against anybody except my pride. That's about it.
Mike, I got to ask you, I'm fascinated by this situation in Jacksonville today. You've got a 1-13 football team. And so the only thing that you're looking at this point is what happens after the season. How do we get better? There's a quarterback coming out of Clemson. Everybody knows Trevor Lawrence. I've talked to some scouts and coaches who say he may be the best prospect to come out since Peyton Manning. That's how much they love this kid. And until 2 weeks ago, Jacksonville didn't have a crack at him. The Jets were going to get him. Now he's theirs if they lose out. But you don't go out to lose football games. You've got a coach who is almost certainly going to be out at the end of the season. What's the dynamic like going on down there right now, would you guess, between ownership, coach, players, as far as how they get ready for this game today with all that going on?
Yeah, that's going to be a rough one because it's hard as a player, and those guys sitting next to you will let you know this, that you have so much pride in your stuff. You have so much pride in your trade, and you work your butt off, and you want to go out there and perform, and You don't want to put any bad tape out there. You don't want people to see, this team is not any good, and neither is Mike Tice. You want to be one of the guys they're talking about is still playing until the end. But at the end of the day, you want that quarterback. So it's really hard. It's come up around the league, year after year after year. I think that Jacksonville is going to go out and play to win. And right now the Bears are running the football extremely well. And I think that Trubisky sat down and he's back up again. So he had a chance to take a look at himself. And he's playing better football. And they're calling a little bit better game, too, by the way.
Yeah, Coach. So I got to flip it a little bit. So when you look back at your time in Chicago, besides kicking me out of the O-line room, what are some of your favorite memories of time you had in Chicago?
Yeah, I had to bring
Chicago.
That up, Pat, man.
I knew he was going to bring that crap up.
He couldn't let it go, Coach, man.
He couldn't let it go. Well, we had a great room. We had some great guys in our offensive line room. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed working for Lovey. I probably enjoyed more than anything interacting with those characters on the defensive side of the ball. You had Urlacher and you had Peanut Tillman. I heard in the preview there that you guys had Peanut on. All those guys were just so much a pleasure to be around. Such great players and great players for a long, long time. And that's why Urlacher's in the Hall of Fame. That was a highlight of my career, just interacting with the team that Lovey put together and the guys and the coaches on that staff.
Hey, Coach, looking back at your history, obviously O-line coach, coordinator, head coach, you have a unique perspective on what the Bears have been going through here. How hard is it as a coach to say, okay, I'm just going to do what my player, Mitch Trubisky, does best, our offensive line does best, is outside zone boot scheme. How hard is it to go away from that, what you really believe in as a head coach, and do the things that work best for the player sometimes?
Well, you know what? If you want to be a head coach for a long time and not just a couple of years and out, you hear that, you feel that, and you sense that. And you go out there and you make sure you're doing the things that your players do well. You identify those things that your players do well. And even though that might not be your baby, that might not be what you want to be, it's all about winning. You guys know this. It's all about winning in the National Football League. When you win, man, you got a great resume. You have a great time. You become, comrades. You become brothers in the locker room. And when you lose, man, there's nothing there for anybody.
Hey, Mike, you spent a huge chunk of your career as an offensive line coach. And it's interesting that it's been the story of the Chicago Bears season this year, really. Tremendous struggles on the offensive line, then some injuries. Then they finally find a couple kids who'd been sitting on the practice squad on the sidelines for a year and a half, and they plug in the young Notre Damers, Sam Mustafa and Alex Bars, and the offensive line starts to come together. You've got a veteran offensive line coach here in Juan Castillo. I don't know how closely you've watched the Bears, but what's your take on how something like that can change so quickly in the middle of the season, where they go from really struggling to actually playing pretty decent football right now?
Well, again, I'm going to go back to running the football. You know, the Bears, over the last 3 weeks, have averaged almost 170 yards a game rushing. And when you do that and you control the line of scrimmage and you allow those offensive line, I've always said this. Olin's heard this 100 times. Well, he wasn't in my room 100 times, but he heard it a lot. Hey, listen, big guys are big going forward. They're not big going back. And, you know, when guys are backing up and pass protecting all day, You can't develop that attitude, that aggressiveness. And right now the Bears are going for it. Montgomery's, hot right now. Had that 80-yarder a couple of weeks ago. He had a really nice game. In fact, I gave him out on my show. I do a little fantasy football segment. I gave him out last week against the Vikings, and you everybody saw what he did against the Vikings. He ate their lunch. And so, I like where they're at, and that gives those young players a chance to develop because – they are going forward. They are coming off the football. They are running the football well. And the pass protection stuff, it takes time to develop that.
Yeah, Coach, speaking of development, you obviously had a great career as a player, great career as an O-line coach. But one thing that always stood out about me is how you developed young players and kind of young players that were maybe undrafted or a little less talented or found out a little later. Who are some in your career that you're kind of proud of worked with and then to help them become who they were as professionals?
Well, my favorite, and it's my favorite position to coach. I go around bragging, saying I coach four Pro Bowl offensive linemen at the center position, three of which I developed, one of which I caught late, which was Olin. But Matt Burke, the sixth-round pick out of Harvard, he was a left tackle. We moved him to center. His third year in the league, he started at center, and he made the Pro Bowl. We're still very close, and I enjoyed developing him and watching his career. But he was another smart guy, another, you know, really good athlete, really good base, really good core, and that's what it takes. You know, it takes guys that understand, you know, how to be a pro, how to be a great pro, and they got to be tough. And Olin will tell you that because he's one of the tougher ones I've been around. You got to be tough. You got to play through that pain and that injury.
Yeah, Matt Burke was a great player and fun to watch for years, man, up there in Minnesota. Coach, in Chicago, like you know, where I've been always looking for these tackles, you know, people always wanted to draft the offensive tackle high. Where can we find a good tackle to anchor that left side of our offensive line through all your years of coaching O-line and just trying to find those guys? What's the best way to get those guys, develop them, and then have them anchor your line for 10, 15 years?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, they only come around every once in a while, as you know, Olin. And so you try to find a guy that's, first of all, athletic and smart, a guy that can change direction, guy that has long arms. And I'm a vertical set guy, as you know, Olin. I like to see these guys set vertical and put the defensive rusher in a bind and make him try to decide, is he going inside or going outside? I've only coached one Pro Bowl left tackle, and that was because he was mean and he had a bad reputation, and that was Todd Stussy at a Cal. But his career was mostly built on, he was a real nasty player, and people appreciated that, or they didn't appreciate that. Who gives a crap? But yeah, it's hard to find that guy. I mean, but boy, when you can find him, if you got a really good center and a really good tackle, you can build a whole entire offensive line around it. Because I've always felt you can hide a couple guys. I shouldn't use the word hide. You can, you know, cover a couple guys up and give them help, and make sure that, you know, your weaknesses are not getting exposed in the course of a game.
Mike, I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, we're going to have to move on in a couple of minutes, but I got to ask you one more thing before we let you go. You've had a couple years away from it now after wrapping it up in Oakland, and we talked at the top of the show, watching that Cardinal 49er game yesterday, and with 9 minutes left, you've got Kingsbury going for it, 4th-and-2 on his own 35, and I kind of bemoaned the lack of respect for defense and what are these guys doing these days. As you've seen the game kind of adjust and these you know, score a million points offenses have taken over, what's your observation of where the league is at right now? Is it a better game? Has it changed too much? You know, what do you think is going on?
Well, and that's a great question, because I texted myself during the course of the game yesterday when I watched a tight end get undercut because he didn't stick the top end of the route when he went across the field. He just rounded the route. What I'm seeing is a lot of poor execution by players, not good technique around the league, terrible tackling. There was awful tackling in the Minnesota game on Christmas Day. It was embarrassing. It's just, I think the technique, and, you know, we could blame it on COVID, we can blame it on this. I think the lack of the off-season, the pads, making it softer for the players, I think this has hurt the game some. Everybody wants to throw the ball around, which is fine. They want to get the ball in their athletes' hands and let them run with it. Completion percentage is at a record high this season, and their completion's at a record high. And the reason is, they're getting the ball the Big 12 style. They're getting the ball in the hands of these athletes and letting them make plays and making people tackle in space. And that's really what the league has gone to. And that, and the other thing I can't stand is, don't bring up next-gen stats around me. I cannot stand stats, those stats. It's, hey, don't turn the ball over. Create turnovers. Run the ball efficiently. And you know what? Some miscellaneous points here and there, you know, return pick for a touchdown. You're going to win a lot of games, man, and that formula is never going to change. The best records in the league right now are the top five. I look at 12 categories. The top five teams with turnover differential have the best win-loss record in the league in any category.
Mike, thank you so much, man. We appreciate your time. Glad to hear things are going well. We are going to keep an eye on you on YouTube and hopefully get you back to visit again real soon.
I would love to be back. And join me on Odds and Ends on YouTube. Be one of my guys. Do a hit. Take a hit on it.
There you go.
That'll be good, brother.
That is Mike Tice, former Chicago Bears offensive coordinator and tight ends offensive line coach, I should say. Also spent 5 years with the Jacksonville Jaguars just before coming to Chicago. Former head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. That is our Where Are They Now segment. Guys, we've got to take a very quick break, but we're going to get right back on the guest hotline, the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford, Melrose Park. When Grody joins us, Grody on the Field is up next. Our very own Bears beat reporter, Mark Grody, here at 670 The Score. We'll get actives, inactives, get back to talking about today's game with Mark in just a moment.
We're back with Grody on the Field, Chicago Bears sideline reporter for WBBM News, Mark Grody. Getting the latest information and stories leading up to game time. Brought to you by Bet Rivers. Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thank you all so much for being with us this morning. As usual, Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz, and me, I'm Hub Arkish, having a ton of fun. We hope you guys are enjoying it. Great visit with former Chicago Bears O-line and offensive coordinator coach Mike Tice just a few minutes ago. We were down in Jacksonville an hour ago with Hayes Carlion getting the update on the Jacksonville Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We now go to our very own 670 The Score Chicago Bears beat reporter Mark Grody. You also hear him on the sidelines on Chicago Bears radio broadcasts on the hometown call from our sister station WBBM News Radio 780 105.9 on your FM dial, along with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. It is Mark Grody. Because the Bears are in Jacksonville, we've got Grody on the couch, not Grody on the field this week. But, you know, hell, Mark, who wants to go to Jacksonville after, you know, 2 days after Christmas and go through all that? This is the better way to cover this one. So hope you had a great holiday and are ready for some Bears football today.
Yeah, man. I mean, who wants that 70-degree weather in Jacksonville? I don't want any part of that. But... yeah, inactives today, guys. Nobody really surprising. I mean, there are some concerns, but nobody surprising because we knew that Jalen Johnson would be inactive, which means, again, Kendall Vildor will play a big part on the outside. Buster Skrin is inactive, so he remains in concussion protocol. The good news is that Duke Shelley is good to go. He is active, so he'll get a bunch of playing time again today. Riley Ridley inactive. So is Demetrius Harris, the tight end. Lechavius Simmons and Daniel McCullers both inactive. The good news, too, Akeem Hicks, whatever he was dealing with a supposed ankle injury, he's good to go on that. Cordarrelle Patterson and the knee injury, which had hampered him in the previous game, he is listed as active and ready to play in this game. Same deal for Allen Robinson. The big deal inactive for the Jaguars, which we knew and you guys already knew as well, is the young rookie undrafted running back, James Robinson, out of Illinois State. Go Redbirds. He is out. And I love this. I love this exercise here, guys. The Jags' second leading rusher this year, Gardner Minshew, who is not starting, obviously, 153 yards on the ground. Their third leading wide receiver this year is a wide receiver. So I don't think I need to go any farther in depth as far as the running back situation for the Jaguars. It is relatively non-existent.
Yeah, you said third leading wide receiver. I think you meant third leading rusher, which is Chark.
Yes.
The Jaguars' three active running backs today have 11 carries this season between them.
Uh-huh.
So good chance the Bears will get a surprise. Also, just worth noting, Deion Bush back this week was playing some nickel in addition to Buster Skrin. So not only Duke Shelley, but the Bears at least a little deeper at the nickel spot. You know, Mark, the one that I can't get my arms around, though, is, well, let me, I'll come back to that in a minute because a more important question for right now. You asked Matt Nagy a really interesting question on Friday as to whether Jalen Johnson was done for the year and was going to need surgery. And he said he didn't think so. He said he thought he was more day-to-day than week-to-week, but he didn't say no either. And I don't know that I haven't asked the question. I don't know if anybody has. Is this the surgical shoulder that's injured? Because he's already had two shoulder surgeries before. I kind of assumed this was a bump and a bruise, but I guess there could be some concern that this is more serious than that.
Well, yeah, and that's why I was asking. And I don't know that that question has been answered, if this is the exact same specific injury. That's what I have not been able to get down to the bottom of. And that's what I wondered. I wondered, is there, it was it when I asked the question, my motivation for that honestly was, is there surgery happening here? Is there something that we don't know going on behind the scenes that we need to know about as far as Jalen Johnson is concerned? Now, he did say, you're correct, Hub, Matt Nagy was pretty optimistic that he wouldn't miss the rest of the season. In other words, he wouldn't miss the Green Bay game and any possible postseason games. Or maybe it just means he would not miss the playoff games. Maybe that's how optimistic Matt Nagy is. But I wonder, because let's face it, this year Matt Nagy has been different when it comes to injuries, and he has leaned into the gamesmanship factor and to telling us basically that he's not going to tell us everything, and that he is, you know, he's going to misguide and misdirect. He hasn't actually said those words, but that's what he's done this year. I mean, not everything he has said. When he says he is optimistic about something, or he doesn't think something is going to happen, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. That's my long-winded way of saying, I still wonder if Jalen Johnson is going to play again this year.
Hey, Grody, what are they saying around there with the defense, and what is exactly wrong with them? What do they talk about?
Yeah, I asked Chuck Pagano that question specifically, and more as it pertained all into the running game, and he got pretty specific with me about guys being in, you know, to make it very simple for the people listening, guys being in the wrong place, guys being in the wrong gaps. And when one guy is in the wrong place, another guy has to make up for the guy that's in the wrong place, and everything falls out of whack. It's this chain reaction on the defense that Chuck Pagano was explaining on Zoom, that when one thing goes wrong, a bunch of things go wrong. So there are some, it sounds to me like it's more of a mental thing. Now we can see at times where guys are missing tackles, or things are going poorly. The Tyler Conklin, touchdown run still bothers me. Just that nobody touched him and he was able to just kind of blast through and overpower guys, something that we hadn't seen really in the last 2 years. And then it does make me wonder, are some of these guys, and I think players hate being asked this question, but is the defense tired? Have they been overworked? When you go back to the
gotta stop that on air. We gotta stop this whole, the defense has been overworked by this offense. That needs to end. If no one ever says that again, that'll be great.
All right, we're done. We're done talking about it then. Next question, Grody.
But I would ask you though, Olin.
Okay, ask me.
When the defense has to be out there so much.
Bears' time of possession has been that bad. Because it really hasn't. Their time of possession is not terrible.
I mean,
and this defense has most of the salary cap. You will admit that.
Absolutely.
So they
no
need
doubt
to be out
it.
There playing better, period,
well,
right?
I guess maybe we're grasping, or maybe I'm grasping at straws, because it's hard to figure out what's going wrong with the defense that was elite in 2018, wasn't as good last year. Like, they were good last year. And then this year there's just been so many jarring moments. So maybe I'm at a point where I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're tired, you know?
Well, they got to rest the last 3 weeks, 3 out of 4 weeks. So hopefully they got a little of their energy back and they can get going.
So, Ole, let me ask you this. Did you get tired of hearing that when
I've heard that floated around the last 3 or 4 weeks. I've heard it floated.
Okay.
well, here it is. I just looked up the possession hour for Chicago versus opponent. It's only about 40 seconds.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Well, but they're dying out there, Pat. They're dying tired out there.
Yeah, there goes that. All right.
You know,
I got nothing.
I think the next word.
Got your back, Olin.
Yeah. So, and Grody,
I'm glad I might have been a little right. Shoo.
No. I was like, I know he's got to be right. I'm going to find this out.
That's all right, guys. I got Grody's back. I think offense is getting.
Broadcasters versus players.
Well, I just think the offense is getting tired now from rolling up all these points. And so, now we got to worry about that, too. But, Mark, you know, in all seriousness, this team, you talk about a roller coaster ride, and everybody's been on it. I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago, everybody in town was getting fired. Unless they really crap the bed today, I think we've reached the point now where it seems most likely nobody's getting fired. What really matters now is the playoffs. And there is a scenario in which they only need to win one of the last two. But I don't think that would satisfy anybody. And I get a sense from these players from our visiting with them this week that they do get it, that they realize at this point it's not just about somehow backing in or sneaking into the playoffs and saying we got there. The sense is that they're trying to build some momentum and they think they can.
Yeah, and I think that, look, that six-game losing streak crushed everybody's spirit. It wasn't just the fans and the way we reacted in the media. That's harsh, man, when you lose six in a row, and it does feel like the sky is falling. It did feel like the season was over. It did feel like everybody was going to get fired. So to think that this version of the Bears thinks that they can kind of sleepwalk through the next two games, even this game against Jacksonville, which is, as we are discussing, that is a legit bad football team. But the Bears were a legit bad football team during that six-game losing streak, and they are just now starting to tiptoe their way out of it and playing better. Because they're playing better doesn't mean that they're playing great at this point. So there's still a lot to be ironed out for the Bears and a lot of things that still need to be tightened up in the next two games. And there's just never a guarantee, look, that you're going to win today, and then let alone next week against the Green Bay Packers. So, yeah, I think that they get that and they understand that they have a second chance. And they're lucky to have it, quite frankly.
Mark, we do appreciate your great work as always. Thank you so much. We know that next week you will be back in row one at Soldier Field as the Bears take on the Packers. Hopefully they're not thinking about that. They need to get a win down in Jacksonville today. We'll be talking with you all week long right here on The Score.
All right, gentlemen, I appreciated all your fancy time of possession stats. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Grody, do me a favor.
Yeah.
If this game goes the way we all expect it to go, ask Coach Nagy if he's a running football team.
Ooh, okay. And then I'll ask, and if things don't go well defensively, I'll say, hey, you guys feel a little tired?
Oh, man. If I hear that one more time, I swear, man. That's like watching Ryan Nall play fullback one more time.
Oh, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
That is Grody on the Field, guys. But we've got a lot more coming for you. Next up, it is our Bet Rivers Plays of the Week, right here on the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. We'd also love to hear from you if you want to give us a call. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can text us at that number as well. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at RosenHyundai.com. Haven't really focused on the text line yet this morning, but we'll take a look there too. We've got a lot more coming for you. Another full hour of the Bet Rivers pregame show right here on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.